There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast
on the left.
Live from your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
How did you know?
I've been around this old spinning globe.
He's seen it all. All right, so this is listener pasta. Is that the deal?
Yeah.
It's only all we've been talking about and sending emails about it for the last fucking week. Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. All right. So I'm just doing like the welcome to the show thing.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show. That's Marcus. I'm Ben. And then we go to Henry and he does a character here.
I am concerned citizen Henry Zebrowski in the Creek in a Cave studio for the first time, and I have to say this listener pasta episode is also an intervention, Ben.
Oh, really?
You are, I'm going to say, visibly drunk at noon on a Sunday.
I haven't drunk all day.
I say you have like wavy lines coming off of you, and you literally hiccup, and a bubble came out of your mouth.
I know that's
a problem.
All right.
You have a problem. You must acknowledge. You have to acknowledge the problem for there to be one.
That's why I don't acknowledge it. It's the perfect way to avoid a problem.
Ooh, yeah. So now we are on to week
three
of our Halloween celebration. Oh, my God. And so close. Oh, my God. I got a hard one.
Don't have one right now. What is
having one?
That's just fine.
I'm ready for Halloween.
Yeah. We all are.
And I also want to put this out there to Los Angeles inhabitants. What is the best horror show or Halloween event that you like? Send it to me, because fucking fill my schedule with cool things, please.
I think it's called the Emmys.
Ben, you need to be on the red carpet.
That is sheer gold. All right.
Reeking of gin.
I didn't even drink any gin last night.
Vodka.
I drank some vodka last night.
I remember around 2:30, Ben sidling up next to me at the bar and say, "Hey, bartender, double vodka tonic with a splash of cranberry in it."
Wrong. Double vodka soda with a splash of cranberry in it, because you want to have a little flavor. And the soda has no calories, and I'm trying to lose weight. And I don't know if you've noticed, but I've lost 2 pounds.
I haven't.
All right. Anyway, we got listener pasta, and there's a fella, and he called in from Medford, Wisconsin, which is one of the spookier locations around in this entire country. And his name is Luke.
Oh, I thought it was Kluke.
No.
Is that not a name?
No, Kluke is not actually a name.
Oh, that's weird. I'm sorry. I've spent a lot of time on Uranus.
Yes. Kluke is a frame of mind.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that.
Feeling Kluke-y.
You know what else is a frame of mind?
What's that?
Your age.
Okay, so Luke here. Luke is here. Luke, how are you?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
All right, are you ready to scare the shit out of us, please?
Oh, boy, am I.
So, again, I just want to, before we begin with Luke, guys, it's Halloween. I don't care if you're at your workplace right now. I don't care if you're
grandma's house.
Your grandmother's house. I don't care if you are on the job at a hospital as an emergency plastic surgeon.
Maybe a construction job.
Whatever the fuck it is you do.
Okay.
Take off your pants.
No.
Right now. Take off your pants. Fiddle with your pubes. With your left hand. With your right hand. Roll up a fucking pool table leg full of fucking sticky Nicky fucking pesto balls.
There's a person dying on the operating.
Who gives a fuck?
Okay.
Smoke it up and get ready to be delighted with fright. Yep.
All right.
So Luke's story is we're starting off with some aliens here.
Fuck yes.
Which I think we had a couple of alien stories last year, but we're going to start off with an alien story this year from Lucas. So Luke, tell us your alien story.
I thought it was just about growing up in Wisconsin and how miserable that is.
Well, all right, let's get right to it. I guess all this starts when I was 8 years old. We moved to a different town. It's not the delightful Medford, Wisconsin. It was more towards Minnesota. And at that time, you know, I was kind of a weird kid, which shouldn't come as a surprise since I listened to this podcast.
I mean, we're all fucking very normal.
Yeah, man.
But you know, I was really into aliens. They had books at the school library, like, you know, Baby's First UFOlogy book, and I just devoured all of that.
That's awesome. I can't wait to get that for my children and then just send them off to school. And they're like, but there's a bigger agenda. And they're like, Mrs. Zabrowski, your kids can't read.
But you're teaching them the truth. Yes. And that's what's important. But around that time, I started to have these really vivid nightmares. Just, you know, you have those dreams on occasion that they are real as they're happening to you. And they always took the same form. It was, I would, you know, fall asleep, and in my dream, I would be lying in my bed, look over to my window, and there would be something looking in on me. And, you know, obviously it was an alien. The best way to describe him, I guess, it's not that they were exactly like Whitley Strieber's communion aliens, you know, the short grays. But they sort of look like, if you've ever seen that movie Splice, terrible movie. But
it's a great movie, that, hot sex
he starts
scene.
Fucking his own daughter.
I love that sex scene. Amazing stuff.
But they kind of looked like the monster in that movie. Just,
well, you know, they talk about, because they're the types that people see all the time. The short grays are the ones that are the robotic-like servants of what is often described, even what you're talking about, is these tall grays. The tall grays are the ones that are a little bit more like us looking, elongated. And the thing that's always mentioned about them is that they are insect-like, that they move like insects, but... That's also people desperate for attention.
Was it masturbating? Do you feel like it was getting aroused when it was looking at you?
I can't say. I couldn't really, like, I couldn't make out any specific facial, like, movement or anything like that.
Was
just, there's something looking in on me.
Was that the entire dream?
No. It would be, I would wake up, look at the window. There'd be something looking in on me. And then I would just start screaming. Ooh. Like, in my dream, it would be this top of my lungs, just louder than I could scream in real life. Just guttural, terrified, oh my God, I'm going to die, that sort of thing. And in my dream, sometimes my parents would come down and they'd be like, oh, Luke, what are you doing down here? What's the deal?
Hey, Luke, you listening to some of that new heavy metal music?
Yeah, and I would always be like, there's something outside. There's an alien outside the window. And they would go and look, and there'd be nothing. They'd be like, oh, right. Luke, your imagination's going wild. And that would essentially be the dream. You know, I would wake up and there was never that, oh, maybe that actually happened. Like, it was always, oh, that was just a nightmare. I should get ready for school.
Do you have a rogue uncle?
No.
Is there anyone in your family?
No history of creepy people in my family or neighbors or anything like that. So that, you know, fast forward 15 years.
How often had you had the dream? Through your childhood?
I have not had the dream since moving out of that house, okay. Which actually could play into something. I'll get to that. I was talking with my dad, and my dad's this big, blustery Midwestern guy, so the only way I can relate to him is through drinking. And,
right. What does he like to drink the most?
We were a few drinks down, and we were just kind of talking about, you know, embarrassing family stuff.
Ben is very focused on the booze today because he's literally
visibly intoxicated.
There is a juniper berry hanging out of his nose.
I am not drunk. I just woke up. All right, what did your dad like to drink?
He just answered the question.
So you're getting drunk with your father.
Yeah, whiskey sour.
We're not mad at you, Luke.
All right.
But, we were just sort of talking about, you know, embarrassing family stuff from the past. And then he looks at me and he says, you know, I remember those times where you would just wake up screaming in the middle of the night, just bloody murder. And we would go down and you'd be like pointing at the window like, oh my God, there's something out there. And And we would, you know, we would go and check and there'd be nothing, but you were just constantly like, no, aliens, aliens. And I never thought that that actually happened.
Oh, you Ooh. Thought that them coming to see you was all a part of the dream.
Yeah, and like the entire time I was like, oh, that entire experience was just a night terror. I should move on. And then he just busts out, no, that actually happened. Like, I was Ooh. Screaming about aliens the night.
Even Whitley Strieber said that, though. He said that during his experiences that he would find himself in the middle of it realizing that he was screaming.
Right.
Realizing the entire time, because they say that aliens have this effect on humans, that they are so foreign to us, they make our nervous systems literally get charged up. They make, like, our hair on the back of our neck stand up, because it's like being approached by a superior creature.
Yeah, what did your father think about you seeing the aliens? Was he mocking you, or was he, like, sympathetic?
Well, he didn't, like, he assumed... He knew I was sort of the sci-fi geek, sort of nerdy kid. So he was just, I think he was coming at it from, oh, he's just having a nightmare, you know, let him be.
Yeah, this is what he gets for reading those books.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And
but you haven't had any recent experiences?
I haven't had any recent experiences, but just the fact that my dad sort of, he also said, you know, we sort of got to talking about it, and he was like, yeah, you were always talking about aliens. Like, sometimes you'd come up in the middle of the night, and, like, you're talking about, I don't want them to look at me through the window. And
if I was your father, I would be fucking creeped out.
Yeah. I'd black out your windows, I'll tell you that.
But the thing is, I never remembered talking to him about, like, any of that stuff.
Did he ever get probed?
No, I don't think so. Like, it's not as dramatic Dang. As, say, like, you know, oh, I found an alien implant in my ear or something like that.
No, but that's a common experience. That is what people have described that experience multitudes of ways. That's how they come a lot of times. Jeremy Vaney. When we interviewed Jeremy Vaney,
he was definitely sexually molested.
Did you feel like you were dressing like a sexy astronaut when you went to sleep and sort of got the aliens all fucking hard for you?
Are you saying I deserved this?
No. No victim blame.
We're not doing anything
Definitely
like that.
Not. But maybe you did court them.
Yeah, maybe you let them on. Bit.
Yeah,
you know, maybe. Just by sleeping there, being a kid, all fucking ready for them to come and just pull down your pants and just play with your little berries you got going on down there.
I just feel like it's a fun little alien looking through the window of a Medford, Wisconsin house, and, oh, I wish I was a human. You know, maybe that was the case.
No, that was just you going through your neighborhood in Wisconsin looking at people through their windows,
yeah.
Eating dinner with their normal families.
It's like that Norman Rockwell painting. That alien just wanted to be a real boy.
Thank you so much for your story, man.
Yeah, no problem.
That's great, Luke.
Yeah, it's an honor to be on the show. Thanks. To it every week.
Do you bring this into your sex life at all?
Every time I've tried, it's kind of backfired. So,
babe, I just want you to lay here, and I'm going to go paint myself brown, and I'm going to stare at you through the window. And she's like, I don't want to play OJ again. He's like, no, this is not OJ. This is aliens.
Yeah, maybe the opposite. Maybe she looks at him through the window. But, all right, thank you.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan.
All right, Luke from Medford, Wisconsin. Thank you, Luke. Good God.
He smells drunk.
Well, I do not smell drunk. I didn't have time to brush my teeth this morning.
All right, our next caller is Drew Frazier. Where are you from, Drew?
San Diego, California.
Ew, beautiful San Diego, California. How's the
weather?
Oh, I was gonna say breasts.
Oh, they're great.
How are the breasts out there?
Ooh, delicious. Yeah.
San Diego.
Don't get me going.
I actually just got back from San Diego. I went to Rico's Burritos.
boy, howdy, one with 1,000 other taco shops. So yeah. I don't know it, but it was a good one.
Good burn, Drew. You're making fun of Henry. I love it. You went all the way to San Diego for a burrito?
I go to a lot of places for just a burrito.
Solely the burrito, okay.
No, that's a justifiable reason.
Yes.
All right, Drew, what is your spooky story from San Diego?
And again, before this story, what I'd like you to do is wherever you are right now, if you're driving a car, if you're flying a plane, what I want you to do is to take off your shirt.
But you should have your hands on the wheel, though.
No, no.
You want to have your hands.
Let Jesus take the wheel. And you fucking take a shot of whiskey and fucking blow a bong load into your asshole.
Well, that's what brought down the Malaysian plane. No one really knows that.
But it was what a ride it was. The 30 seconds before it disintegrated in the air, though. And be prepared to get scared by the salty tunes of Drew
Frazier
from San Diego.
It seems as if the pilots have injected bong, smoked bongs through their butts. Okay.
Drew from San Diego.
Drew from some bongs in their butts there.
So, Drew, you're a Marine, right?
Yes.
All right, yeah, and apparently do these stories have to do with your time in the Marine Corps?
They do. In fact, they're from Afghanistan.
All three of them
happened right while I was deployed.
I have been looking for a ghost story from Afghanistan for years.
Yeah.
I'm excited. All right.
Yeah, this is great. All right, man, what do you got?
All right, so it starts off, let's go back to 2012, the year of our and so, we had an outpost that would get cycled through every couple days with a new squad. So we were down there. It's a smaller compound, about 100 by 100, three rooms, and two posts. So you would be overwatching a river. To your left and to your right is a wall. Just to kind of give the tense moments or kind of feeling that I had was that anything could have come around those corners. And so every time, you're kind of on edge while you're down there. So I'm down there. It's wintertime. It's cold. And that's when I hear this maniacal scream. Best way I can describe it is just this deep scream out to my left, maybe 150 feet away. So already I'm on edge, but when I hear this, really gets the adrenaline pumping. So I yelled to my buddy, "Hey, did you hear that?" No, he didn't hear. He didn't hear nothing. So that's the first instance. And
he's like, "Did you hear what?" And he's like, "Did you hear the?" He's like, "No, bro."
He didn't hear it. But you know, it's understandable. So either way, I ignore it because I'm not crazy. We don't need anyone being crazy right now. So we'll fast forward a couple days. And as we're transitioning with our squad, I hear someone ask, "Hey man, how you been sleeping? You know, we're on edge, it's cold, whatever." You know, people ask these questions, but it was more specific to being here at this compound. So he asked that. He's like, "You know, I've been sleeping, whatever." So again, we'll fast forward again for a couple more days later, and it had been raining for about 5 days straight, mud up to your damn knees. It's awful. And that's when, again, he asked how he's sleeping, but again, same kind of discomfort while he's sleeping. Either way, I'm down there again. It's nighttime, 3 o'clock in the morning, cold. It's been raining for 5 days, and I hear it again. I hear it again about same distance off to my left. But this time, my buddy responds, "Hey, did you hear that?" "Thank you, yeah, I heard that, man." And he says, "Man, it sounds like a retard screaming."
He's like, "Yes, thank you, Sergeant Bobasio."
American heroes are allowed to say the R word. As I always say.
So the next morning, sorry, not the next morning. That night, I go to wake up my relief, and as I wake him up, I walk into the room. It's pitch black in there, and I go to wake him up, and I realize he's already awake. And I look a little bit closer. He has his rifle in his hand. So already, okay, what's going on? And he says to me, "There's someone in the room." So my adrenaline's pounding at this point because I think I'm going to have to stab someone with my rifle. But he turns to me and he says, over there. And it's the back of the room with a pile of blankets. And he says, "I woke up after a terrible dream to hear someone like breathing out and breathing in really slow." He's in this room alone. So he hears this, and he woke up, and this was about 30 minutes before I woke him up, and he said he had been listening to. Now, there's lots of preachers in Afghanistan. He's everywhere. But all he hears is this methodical scratching against the mud. Now, the whole country is fucking mud, so it could come from anywhere, but he said it was the back of the room, and he heard this scratching. So I shine my light back there. There's nothing there. But on the wall is a 3x3, you know, a large dream catcher up on the wall. And I don't know how long it's been there, but either way, it's been there since the previous residents had owned it. All their kind of belongings were in the back of the room. And either way, he wakes up and, or not wakes up, he gets up and heads out and relieves us on post. When I go to sleep, I wake up the next morning and all the people's belongings, the dream catcher, all that shit's on fire. All out in our burn pit. Whoa. They burned it all. Not as in something spooky happened, they decided to burn it because they wanted it out of there. Because of all of the uncomfortable and bad sleep that everyone had been getting from that room.
So finally, like, somebody snapped and was like, I'm getting rid of all of this shit.
It had to go. All of it had to go. Because it wasn't just one or two people. There was about five people that slept in that room on and off as they cycled through. So this was a consistent thing that everyone was having. So, and that's where the story ends right there.
That's great.
Damn.
And that's the secret war in Afghanistan no one's talking about.
Yeah, we need to send these new female Ghostbusters over there.
I agree.
That's fucking frightening.
So did all the activity stop after it was burned? After all the stuff was burned?
Well, I was there for about one more cycle, and nothing was mentioned. I heard no noises. I heard no screen, nothing like that.
How long is the cycle?
Between 2 to 3 days, and then when it would rain, we'd be there for about 5 days.
So this was someone's former home. This wasn't built by us. This was a local's like home that was retrofitted into a base.
Well, it was an observation. Like it would five people would come down, and it was literally just a house. And yes, exactly. There were some sandbags put up, things like that. But other than that, it was literally whatever they built. That's what it was. Three rooms, and that was it.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's
very
so
cool.
Intense, dude. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you're back and you're all right, man. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, man.
No problem, guys. Appreciate it, and looking forward to hearing the new episode.
Oh, wait, one more thing. Didn't you say that you had, didn't you say you saw something in the sky?
Right. So this was, we'll fast forward again. We'll say, this is 6 months, we'll say. We'll fast forward. It's 2 o'clock in the morning, and I was just sitting on a rooftop, and I was looking at the sky. When there's no lights around for 150 miles, the sky is just gorgeous and bright.
Right. So, I've never seen that. Really? Sounds wonderful.
And so I'm looking at this mountain range kind of behind us, and I see what I only can describe as a projectile, like white, though, up in the sky, big enough for me to recognize it, though, as that. And it is moving horizontally.
Hmm.
Not kind of at an angle, nothing like that. That was the key thing, was it was moving horizontally. And as it went, it didn't explode, it burst. Which I don't...
What's the difference? That.
Well, I don't want to imply that there was like an explosion of
it
different...
It separated into different parts, sort of?
Well, when I say it burst, it burst into a perfect circle. That's pretty much what it came down to, was this circle.
Well, I'm going to say that you guys are sitting on a lot of secret shit, and I think you know a lot of stuff that you don't want to talk about.
He's talking about it, Henry.
I'm just saying there's other shit that you know that you won't spill, man, and I know that there's another agenda going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you know how much Marine infantry men are involved in Area 51 type shit.
Super important.
The key part about that, about what I saw, was that it was the cloud of smoke that it created was a perfect circle, and it kept expanding and expanding. And then about maybe 2 minutes went by, and another one had branched off to make another smaller perfect little circle, and then it kept expanding. And that was pretty much it, that this thing went, it burst and burst, and these perfect circles were up in the sky.
Not even not even a joke, but that sounds like fucking chemtrails. Yeah. That sounds like when they seed clouds and
cloud
shit like
bursting.
That. Yeah. So you could be, you could have seen your fucking government.
I mean, it's everyone's government.
I mean, technically, you know, yeah. our yeah. government. Yeah. But you were on the front lines and you saw us tested new shit. It didn't rain like snow cones or anything, right? Or like giant tomatoes.
Ooh, I love that.
No, but it was actually above the mountain. As it went off, there was a fog that came down the mountain. It didn't make it to me, but I noted that it was this fog that rolled down the mountain.
Chemtrails.
Cool. Yeah. Chemtrails. Yeah, they might. I mean, we do know that the United States government has a habit of experimenting on its own soldiers.
Well, I've had several people in Los Angeles come at me, too, and they're like, you can tell what clouds are chemtrail clouds because they're trying to make it rain in that fucking godless city where I'm forced to be in.
Abandon right. it. Abandon hell it. Desert. Like, that, yeah. it should be abandoned.
It's a hell desert. Do you have any health ramifications after you saw the possible chemtrails? Do you have, like, a third testicle or anything?
No third testicles. I think I'm okay as far as that goes, yeah.
Good. Well, man, I'm so glad you're okay. Thank you for serving our country, and thank you for giving us a fucking delicious spooky tale.
Yes.
Delicious.
Right on, guys.
Spooky.
Thanks for having me.
Hail yeah. Satan.
Help.
Hail Satan.
So as a part of the Listener Pasta celebration of Halloween this week, we're going to be reading some of these stories that you've sent in via email as well, and we're going to smash them like a cock between two buttocks.
Nice.
In between these recorded stories from some of our listeners. And I'm going to say, some of these are pretty spooky.
Spooky indeed.
Some of these are pretty spooky, and is it spooky? And if you can notice that there's a difference in the recording sounding of my voice, it's because I'm back in Los Angeles. I was only in New York for a brief period of time, and good Christ, do I miss it.
You look miserable, Henry.
Thank you.
And if you want to know why Ben sounds weird, that's because he is stuck at the doggy house right now.
Yeah, so if you hear a random Pomeranian barking, there's no Pomeranian that I take care of. Is it a ghost?
It's a ghost.
It's
a ghost.
It's probably.
I will say I got pretty freaked out by a raccoon last night.
Yeah, dude, what is it with you and raccoons?
They're fucking coming for me, man.
They love you, dude.
I don't think they do. I don't think they do.
They look at you like you're a big garbage can full of meats and cheeses they want to eat.
We are similar in that way.
Yes. All right. Should I start?
Start, Ben.
Yes, please.
Okay. So I'm just going to read the full email.
Read the story. No, just find the story part of it. Read the story.
I'm going to read the whole thing. It says, hello, sure. guys. I have a story for you. Ooh, that's exciting. It's not as cool as knowing a serial killer, though my grandfather knew people who worked on the Zodiac case at the Maryland Navy base, and my mother's teacher taught Patty Hearst before she went crazy. So that's a case not solved, and that's a teacher who drove somebody nuts. So your family background is full of bad educators and bad detectives. Anyways, my story. I live in Arkansas. Part of Tornado Alley. Tornado season starts around the end of April. I was a junior in high school and remember the sky was so dark it seemed like the sun never rose that morning. Ooh, missing sun. It was one of the most violent thunderstorms I'd ever seen. Around 9 a.m., the principal announced that our classmate, we'll call him John, because his name was probably John, had been struck by lightning around 7:30 at his bus stop at a local Baptist church and passed away at the regional hospital. I don't know why that's such a funny way to die. What happened to John? Struck by lightning. You know, oh, all right. We were all shocked. Nothing like that had happened before at our school. By lunchtime, people were spreading the story around of what happened. Rumor had it that his last words had been along the lines of, I hate this goddamn rain. And the rain smite thee. Before being struck by the lightning of the school parking lot. Those are pretty perfect last words before you get struck by lightning, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That his shoes had melted into the asphalt.
Sure wish I had left my umbrella hat at home.
Yeah. His shoes had melted into the asphalt when he was struck. I talked to my friend into driving down to the church to check it out. There was nothing there beyond some burnt asphalt, but there were, disappointingly, no melted shoes.
No.
That's sad. A week later, after the funeral, after his obituary was published, I was in the library for study hall when another thunderstorm hit the town.
The school was old, and it wasn't surprising that when the power went out, But when it came back on, the fax machine was turned on and began spitting out copies of John's obituary. Also later that year, a deer with brain worms ran through the school and shat all over the commons during lunch.
That's the story I want to hear next.
during Camo Day of Spirit Week. Camo Day, I assume everyone wears camouflage during Spirit Week here. It was kind of a weird year. Also, I just wanted to say that I love the podcast and I've met so many great people on the Facebook page. Thanks for that, Beth Ashley T. Wow.
That's so nice. I think I'm gonna preemptively, hesitantly congratulate you on your reading skills for that email. I think that you did well. I think that you attempted to read it and you attempted to sell it.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I'm proud of you.
Yeah, and also later that year, a deer with brain worms ran through the school and shat all over the commons during lunch, which might be my favorite sentence I've ever read.
Yes.
All right.
Besides, Henry Zebrowski, you're not the father.
That's a funny one too. Fuck!
Fuck!
Fuck! All right. Well, let's go back to another call.
Beep boop boop beep boop beep beep boop beep boop beep boop ring. Whatever you want to do,
it's up to you.
Rowan.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, how are you? Thanks so much for doing the show.
Thank you for choosing my story.
Yeah, Rowan's a longtime listener.
I have seen Rowan. I know Rowan's name.
Don't creep her out.
I know everything about you.
I have seen you, right. Miss McDonald.
Good vacation to Spain last year.
Yes. All right. Our next story is from longtime listener Rowan McDonald. How you doing today, Rowan?
I'm good. I have some spooky shit.
All right. Yes.
And before this story, I just want to say, I don't care where you are right now. I don't care if you're at a grocery store or if you're at your grandmother's fucking funeral. I want you to take off your shoes.
Sorry about your grandmother, though.
Yeah. Your grandmother. Nobody cares.
Right. Well,
right? And what I want you to do is I want you to get a flask, right, and fill it with weed juice.
Weed juice?
And I want you to suck on it the entire time and play with your toes in the grass.
Okay.
And be ready to have your mind fucking flip-flop like a brown pancake by Rowan's scary tale of the McLeod.
So you just asked people to be autistic at a funeral.
Yeah.
That's good. Good to know.
All right, Rowan, what do you got?
All right, so when I was 8, I moved from California to Connecticut into a place in New Britain. And my sister and I had a bunk bed, a metal bunk bed, because that was a good idea. I went to sleep one night. I tried to go to sleep early because it was a like 5-day trip across the country. And my sister was on the bottom bunk. I was on the top. And out of nowhere, I felt someone like punch me on the top of my head. My sister's a jerk, so I assumed she did it. I got up and I started yelling at her. And she was like, don't you think you would have heard me get up and then get back down? I was like, I guess, but it really felt like someone punched me. But I let it go for that point in time.
Yeah, because there's also that syndrome known as exploding head syndrome. And I've gotten a couple times where you hear a loud noise and it wakes me up out of my sleep.
Mm-hmm. But I wasn't quite asleep yet, so it was weird.
Yes.
So then my sister went on, like, she went to a sleepover, and I wanted to sleep on her bed because it was bigger and better, and I was 8.
Oh, my God. Usually the top bunk is better than the bottom bunk, I thought.
No, I fell out of it once. So. Mm.
Oh, and then you're afraid for the rest of your life. Believe me, that's why I can't sit in chairs.
Yeah.
Difficult for me.
Always falling.
I was asleep, and in the middle of the night, I woke up, and I looked out from under the covers, and I saw this girl sitting, like, in front of me. And she had, like, this weird green decaying skin. She was staring straight at me, and, like, she was almost glowing white. Like, the rest of my room was dark, but she was, like, glowing white. And I was so freaked out. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't do anything. I just, like, hid under the covers until my brain was like, okay, you're going to sleep now. But I didn't notice. After that point, I would feel things in my room, like out of nowhere. I was alone, but I'd feel like someone was staring at me. and I would bump into people that weren't there, or I'd hear whispering in my ear. One time it even whispered my name into my ear, which I then ran out into the living room, sat there with my door open, and just kind of stared. It was not okay.
Rowan.
I also had a reoccurring dream that was...
Rowan is a great name to say slowly.
Rowan.
Did it sound like that, Rowan?
Yes.
Don't, we don't want to scare you, Rowan.
It was Henry. It was Henry. Henry's the girl.
I've always followed you.
So I had this reoccurring dream that I only had when I was living in this house. I was like a camera looking through these, like, through a slot, and there was this person. It was a dirt floor, and there were, like, metal walls, and this person was clearly insane. And they were, like, saying stuff and, like, writhing around, and then it saw me, and it stopped. And it would go towards this window thing, and it, like, reached out, and that's when I would back up, and it would tell me things like, you know, like, let me out, I'll get you. It's, like, clawing at me, and I'm just...
Which is two opposite messages.
Right,
and
yeah.
Like, every time you tell me to let you out, and then you say you're going to get me, yeah. I'm sorry, bro, I ain't going to help you.
It's
I'm sorry.
No, it is, it is. Let me out, I'll take care of you forever. Like, that's nice.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll marry your ass.
Yeah, let me out, I'm going to stab you a bunch.
No, I'm good.
And I had always had this bad feeling in my back hallway. It was mostly my room and my back hallway, where the bathroom was, so that was inconvenient. And it was just bad, a bad feeling. I hated it. And
what
one
was
night
the feeling?
After,
was it, like, super heavy and intense?
Yeah. It was very much like what I felt in my room when I felt like someone was watching me. It was intense, and it was bad.
Now, you weren't stoned to the gills, right? Because sometimes
seeing
I get
as
that.
I was 8 to 14? Probably not.
You know, you never
I don't know.
Know.
Eight-year-olds are... I started getting high at like 14.
You're also all fucked up.
Had next girlfriend, she started smoking weed at like 11.
It's
you know?
It's different. Also fucked up.
Also
I remember how fucked up she was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So have you experienced anything in adulthood? Or is that house still in your family's...
Not really. Like not
in,
since,
in your family?
Like, since I moved out of this place, there's not really been much of anything.
Do you feel unloved?
Calm down, Ben.
That's a different podcast.
Yeah. If that's the case, please send me an email and we'll get to it on the different show.
Yeah.
The feelings.
When I had this dream, and it had the girl, it had the little girl, and it was different parts of my house. And then out of nowhere, it, like, in the back hallway, there's this man, like, hanging himself.
Ooh.
And the whole dream was, like, in, like, strobe light sort of thing.
It's like this every one of your dreams is a Metallica video.
Yeah, through these years, apparently it was.
All right, good God.
See the guy hanging, and he points to it, and then it turns into Lars Ulrich, and it's just him hanging by a noose while playing the drums.
That would be wonderful.
So, the spookiest dream of all is when I moved from this place to my current house, the first night I slept here, I had a dream. It was my room completely empty, and the little girl standing in the middle of it. She turns around, and she starts walking towards me, and it's still sort of like that. I'm a camera, and I'm backing up. I back up out through the house, and I'm traveling backwards, and I can tell I'm going from my old house to my new house, but it's clear, like, I can see the streets, I know where I am, and it backs up until I'm in my town, and then my street, and then my room, and I can see my room even though I'm still dreaming, and as I wake up with, like, a pop, I hear, "I'll get you."
Ooh.
Jeez.
And then I woke up, and it was...
And it wasn't, but it was a menacing, "I'll get you." It wasn't like a, "I'll get you."
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think Detective Popcorn sent me that.
That's great.
Mm, yeah, sleeping there. Mm, it's like a hot dog laying on a warming tray. Mm. So delicious, old pink, and laying down there. Oh, I wish I wasn't a crazy little ghost girl. Mm, I wish I could be some mustard on that hot dog.
I mean, I agree with everything you said. That sounds perfect. Rowan, that is wonderful. And I'll tell you, it's you're a beautiful woman, and that ghost was really India.
Oh,
isn't that nice?
Yeah.
I'll get you. You know, I say that to all the girls.
He does say that to all of the women, yeah. And it is legitimately a problem.
It is.
Yeah,
it
has become an issue.
Yeah. All right, Rowan. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan.
Goodbye.
All right. Talk to you soon.
All right, well, let's hear another reading from Henry.
Yes. I open my email, and what do I hear? Is it a man yelling? No, it's a ghost. This is a story from Rylan Anderson, Mr. Anderson. I was in late middle school, or maybe even freshman year when this happened. I'm from a military family, so we move around a lot. At the time this happened, we were stationed in Hawaii. Oh, I wanna lay ya. Bahamas. The housing area that we lived in originally had been scheduled for demolition, so we were moved into a newly built neighborhood that was outside the American Air Force Base. Oh, it's an American Air Force Base. I thought it was a weird Hawaiian town.
How is that spelled? Yeah.
Hickam. It's spelled like Hickam, but I thought maybe it's because they're all weirdo. I don't know what their race is over there.
Right, right.
As I said...
Polynesian.
Oh, fake Asian. As I said, the houses were brand new, but they weren't great. As I would later find out, they were built entirely by the construction apprentices who did an awful job to the point where they even mixed the paint and primer wrong, and our walls were plastically sticky, like a grip tape. Anyway, my mother had recently had another child, who we named Gil. Which is an unfortunate name to give a kid, because basically you've made him a middle manager his whole life. Mm-hmm. And he was just learning to speak in full, semi-full sentences. About 6 months after we had moved into the house, I personally noticed that there were odd cold spots around the house. I'd always jokingly think, uh-oh, there must be a ghost in here. You were right. These spots were usually around the stairs. We had the kind of stairs that went halfway up, stopped, and became a small landing, and then continued to the second story in the opposite direction. In addition to the cold spots, I always noticed things being moved from where I put them, a door being closed, the fan being turned on, my plate moving from one side of the counter to the other, even the TV volume would seem to change sometimes when I was away or in the WC. As myself, I'm known to be an airhead, so for most of it, I thought I must have just moved things and forgotten about it. It happened to my parents too, though. Which was more strange. For instance, I overheard my mom scolding herself for leaving open a window she swore she closed. It says mum, but I feel weird saying mum. As all this started happening, Gil began to act quite oddly as well. He would stare at seemingly nothing and say, "Play?" As if he were talking to someone, which we didn't think much of. This only happened for probably 2 weeks, and then his behavior changed. Every now and then, he would run to my mother as if he was running from something. Frightened, but not exactly terrified. One day, he stood at the bottom of the stairs and pointed to the landing area and said to my mom, "Why is he here?" Mom would respond with the, "Who, sweetie?" "The building man," my brother said, as if it was obvious. And it's not obvious. Gil is fucking going nuts. Gil needs to be put in a mental asylum. My mother began to treat it as if he just made an imaginary friend. Later that week, though, Gil asked Mom to make the building man go away. And then the same day, didn't want to be carried up the stairs to the nursing room because the building man was there. And he said it would always point to the general area of the landing or the stairs. He'd always point right there to the landing. Eventually, he began to act very scared of the so-called building man that he kept seeing near the stairs. And he would scream and cry whenever my mom carried him up or down the stairs. As his reactions became more alarming, I mentioned it to a friend who also happened to be the son of the first family to move into this new neighborhood. Upon telling him, he became very interested, like weirdly interested. And I asked him why was he so curious and about what my brother was saying about this building man. My friend, who's called Joseph, by the way, informed me of an accident that happened at the time that they were still erecting certain houses in the neighborhood. They did it in sections, so some could move in while others were still being constructed. Apparently, there were a couple of workers that had gotten into an argument while finishing the wooden framework of a house. They were doing something with the roof. I don't remember what specifically, but they became agitated. I guess to the point where they weren't paying attention, and thus one of them fell, probably not using a harness system, stupid apprentices, and even though it was only a two-story fall, he had landed on his head, and it was a fatal injury. As you could probably guess, that house was my house. My goddamn house. So at this point, I was putting together a theory that what my younger brother was seeing was in fact the ghost of the man whom I presume was the worker that died that day. Mm. I am indeed a believer in ghosts, but I was not keen on believing that I personally had moved to a house that was actually haunted. After a few days of talking about it with Joseph, we decided that we needed to confirm the existence of this ghost or spirit and discover why it would be lingering. That night, after our parents were asleep, he snuck out and came to my house and we busted out the good old-fashioned Ouija board that George Norrie fucking hates. We asked the standard questions, are you here, who are you, what's up, my humbug, fucker. No answer. And so I became kind of irritated and asked what was probably a significantly more violent tone, who are you and why are you here? Like in Paranormal Adventures. Right after that, a gust of wind swept through the living room, but there were no open windows or doors. Greatly encouraged by a reaction of some sort, I asked again in an angry tone. At that moment, I did so. So did Joseph. They sensed a presence, like a feeling you get when someone is behind you. There was nothing there, but then we heard a clear noise. A noise like someone had just jumped and stomped loudly on the landing. You fucker! You hear that noise?
Yeah, I heard that.
We ran out of the house like little schoolgirls. Let me tell you, I was Usain motherfucking Bolt for 15 seconds it took me to get out the back door. And he would find that insulting.
Yeah.
My parents were flying back to the mainland for a wedding. The house would be empty for the weekend, and I would be home alone for a few days. We took this chance to perform a seance and hopefully get rid of the spirit. We decided to call that out of respect, since ghost sounds, I mean. We grabbed a few friends who were into the occult and contacted a medium. There's really only one medium on the island who'd be considered legit or real. Apparently, it was very lucky that we were able to get a hold of her on such a short notice. We began at a circular table and began at midnight, although I thought it was unnecessary. She did the same general talk-up, asking questions, but she did it for several minutes. Eventually, she paused and waited for a moment before going again. Who are you? As if an answer, the candles that we were using went out. I guess she took that as an answer because she continued. She asked, why are you here? After a second of silence, she said that it was angry, almost described as irritated. She cut to the point and told the spirit, I want you to leave this place. Leave this house! She got louder, saying, leave this house! Do not stay here! Leave this house! This is Hawaii! Go to the beach! And then the baby gate we put at the bottom of the stairs flew out of place, like, as if it was kicked. With one more shout of, leave here! She stopped talking. Then after what seemed like ages of silence, she said that it was gone. And she made 300 easy dollars.
Nice. It's story.
Gil went entirely back to normal and never mentioned the building man again. Thank you so much, Rylan. Is that the worst part of living in Hawaii, huh?
That's great.
You're too sad because you're surfing to work every day and you got Beach Boys playing everywhere and poi? Nothing but soft food? Yeah, you're all upset about living in Hawaii because you got ghosts. You should be lucky for the ghosts. I live in Los Angeles and I can't see a goddamn ghost for the life of me. Yeah. You're so
lucky. The only thing that story was missing was this sentence. Also, later that year, a deer with brain worms ran through the school and shat all over the commons during lunch.
All right, let's get back to another call.
Okay.
Hello, Kat.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Kat, what's
fantastic.
Up?
Okay,
this
let's see, Kat.
A little bit ago.
Here. There's Kat. There's the boys.
Oh, am I in it?
I can't. Hey. Okay, that's my hand. No one can ever see me.
Yeah, put your head farther this way. There's a camera here.
So this is the infamous smelly studio, huh?
Yeah. It does not smell better today.
No, it smells worse today.
It smells bad, like old weed.
Yeah, it's because it smells like...
Yeah.
Because also the smell coming from Ben is like W.C. Fields' corpse.
Oh. Can a man drink a bottle of vodka? Can a man... Come on.
All right, how are you guys?
Good, Kat. How are you doing?
Only slightly hungover.
Yeah, just slightly. God.
Where are you at, Kat?
I am on Andrews Air Force Base in Maryland.
Holy shit. Oh, wow. So are you an Air Force?
I am.
That is good. That's great. I love, because... You guys are believable humans.
Yeah. No, not all of us.
You know, I think we've got fans in every branch of the military.
Yeah.
Except, yeah, we got some Navy people. We actually talked to a Marine earlier today.
We haven't met a single person from the fucking NSA.
I should drive by there every day when I go up to Baltimore.
Can you go and can you like get a bunch of rotten eggs and throw it at the fucking building for me?
I've forgotten about it.
It's like, get out of it. It's like every day you stop by, you like, I get my coffee, I park in front of the NSA office, I scream at them about getting out of my head, and then I drive back to my Air Force base. Now, before we get into this story, what I want you to do is take off your Letterman's jacket if you're in high school. Take off your policeman's uniform if you're a police officer.
I like that idea.
Right? Get all the way down to your nude self. Take your underwear down and wrap it around your feet like it's weird socks. And then I want you to go and fucking make a loaf of weed in the oven. Go in the take a bunch of weed and put it in a fucking baking tray and put it in the oven at 450. And what you do is let that weed bake for like 15 minutes and then stick your head in the oven. Shut it off. Shut off the oven after it's been baking a little bit. Get some of that sweet, all that sweet smoke and let it fucking go in your nose. And then I want you to sit down. I want you to put in your earplugs and I want you to get ready for the scariest tale we've heard today. Yeah. From Kat.
Yeah.
And that's, the Air Force.
That's a very difficult way to smoke weed. I will say. I don't know if that's the best.
It's the fifth of these intros I've done.
Oh, okay.
I mean, they're still just as good as the first.
Yeah. I will agree with that, Marcus.
Yeah.
They're very good.
Yeah. All right, Kat, what you got?
All right. So when I got stationed in mainland Japan, 2012, I lived in the dorms since I'm unmarried. So, I mean, at first when I got in there, it was fantastic. I had my own bathroom, like, tiny little apartment-sized thing. It was great. I was so happy to finally have my own bathroom. And I would notice, like, things out of the corner of my eye just, like, moving. Kind of just played it off, didn't think too much of it. And I started to hear, like, weird knocking noises, like, coming from inside my wooden closet. And just kind of played it off as, like, other airmen banging around. But the walls were kind of solid cement. It'd be a little hard. It started escalating, though, when I would, like, I'd be putting my hair up to go running, and out of the corner of my eye, I would see a black form walking into my bathroom.
Jesus.
No, I just ignored it. Was not going to, like, investigate anything further, because that's how white people die in horror movies. Right. They investigate.
So you...
Never a good thing.
But, Kat, you're the fucking Air Force. You have to investigate.
Yeah.
You're of the military.
I'm the Air Force, exactly. What am I going to do?
Yeah, but, I'm rock hard. Yeah, can I just say that? I can't stop thinking of Jodie Foster, Silence of the Lambs, hair up, going for a jog. Kat, marry me.
But no, you're the girl that survived.
No answer. Come on.
Well, I mean, her profile picture, she's got a picture with a man with a beard.
Oh, you're dating. He's a hipster.
Is it Santa Claus?
It's not Santa Claus.
You're dating a man with a beard, Kat?
He actually introduced me to your guys' podcast.
Oh, I love him. Okay.
Okay, yeah. That's fine.
Well, offer's off the table.
He's going to go back to marrying that bottle of vodka.
Stoli, that's what Ben likes.
Well, I mean, I would see this black form, and it would always be walking from, like, my front door, from my closet, into the bathroom. Sometimes I'd be showering. I'd be afraid to close my eyes because, like, I didn't know what would appear. And I'd see, like, shadows moving. I'm like, oh, it's just the light. It's just the light. Play it off. The scariest thing happened to me, though. I was taking a nap on my couch. And I distinctly remember when I came home, I didn't even take off my boots. I was just so exhausted. I walked in the room, locked the door, and then lay down on the couch and passed out. I heard my front door open, and I can't move at this point, but my eyes are open. And I hear this Japanese lady say sorry in Japanese and excuse me, and I hear her walk in, and I look up, and it looks like she's wearing almost a businesswoman suit, like the dress and the pant coat, and she had long black hair. And so I close my eyes, and I'm like, I have no idea what's going on. I'm terrified. I close my eyes, and I feel her hair drape on my face, and I feel her touch my face, and she opens my eye, and all I see are the whites of her eyes and the long hair. And so I sit up, and I'm finally able to move, and I scream, and there's nothing there, and the door's unlocked.
Oh, wow.
Shit. What I do like is that they're still polite.
Yeah. And how do you say I'm sorry in Japanese?
Gumanasai.
That's
crazy.
We've seen it a million times now with, like, you know, the original Ring, and with every single J-horror film, like, portrays the ghost like that. But that is how the Japanese ghosts appear.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, Japanese ghosts definitely have a certain
style.
Panache.
Yeah.
What was the feeling when you were around the entity there? Did you feel, like, just terrified, or...
I felt really unsettled. I eventually, that night, I went out with a few of my friends to get ramen, and I was, like, jokingly telling about it, you know, trying to play it off again. And my buddy, he's like, what kind of suit was she wearing? And I explained it to him, that it looked like dark blue. He's like, I'm not trying to freak you out, but I've seen that lady at the end of my bed, and I now sleep with lights on.
Oh my god.
You know, because we actually,
I think it's amazing that he asked, like, what color the suit was. It's like, that's a different one. Mine wears a brown suit.
But you're saying someone sits at the end of your bed, right?
Well,
okay.
Does she, like, do the thing where she goes, like, I never had the future, and then shoots blood all out of your eyes, and you wake up and you're in the bathroom covered in your own blood? Does that happen to you, too? That's really fucking terrifying.
Oh, awesome.
There's something that is so scary, because we also got a ghost story from a man that served in Afghanistan.
Well,
and it's terrifying.
What is it about, and Henry, maybe you can answer this, what is it about moving to a foreign country? I feel like a lot of these people experience these things when they're in new environments.
I feel like there's a lot. As soon as you're unsettled, they talk about it, like, even any sort of psychic phenomenon, anything that's like ghosts or anything, that normally happens when something is either in transition or during, like, emotional stress.
Right.
Puberty
and stuff as well.
Yes, because there's a lot of change going on, and according the modern theory of what's going on with ghosts and shit like that is that there is intelligences outside of us that sort of work with our consciousness, which is like a gigantic operating system. So sometimes it just takes the right person and the right scenario to, like, be the key in the lock that allows, like, the ghost to play out.
Yeah. So figure that into your moving plans. You know, just be like, we have, you know, $5,000 for the move to Chicago, 2 weeks of ghost trauma. Don't forget that. We have to take off work.
And then we got
to
get some deep dish.
Yeah, then we got to do deep dish. And, you know, of course, get those hot dogs. Kat, an amazing story. Thank you so much.
How much longer do you have in the Air Force, Kat?
3 more years.
Woo!
Are you enjoying it so far?
I miss being in Japan.
That's right. You're not over there.
Yeah, you're in Andrews.
Yeah, Maryland.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah.
Fucking
all right.
We won't tell your bosses.
I love this place. It's fantastic.
Yeah,
that's great.
I bet.
Well, you and your
gun to her head.
You and your fella gotta come over, come up to New York sometime and come see the live show or something.
Definitely, it's like only a 4-hour drive.
That's not bad.
Come on for the weekend. Have a nice weekend in New York City.
Well, thank you. Well, I hope.
I hope you don't get
haunted by any real criminals of Baltimore.
Oh, my goodness. That's terrible.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, Kat.
Thank you, guys.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan.
Woo!
Yeah.
Hello.
Hey.
What's up, Jason? How you doing, dude?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
Very good. Very good.
Very good indeed. Yeah, it's just me and Ben. Henry had to hop on a plane back to Los Angeles.
I figured he's probably filming something.
Oh, yeah, man. A to Z. Thursdays on NBC.
Don't forget about it. How you doing, Jason?
I'm doing pretty good.
Hell yeah, dude.
I actually just got off of work a little bit ago, so.
Where do you work at?
I work at a pet store in the Upper West Side.
Oh, no shit. What kind of pets do you specialize in over there?
Dogs and cats mainly, but we don't have any actual pets there. We just basically not give out. We sell food and things like that.
Oh, nice. I love that. So you know Sun Cho, huh?
Kind of. He was actually a friend. He was a classmate of one of my little cousins when he was in school at Stone Middle School.
Oh, that's amazing.
So yeah. So did you hang out with the guy?
A few times, yeah. Actually, it got to the point where he stopped hanging out with my cousin and ended up hanging out with me quite often.
So you were creepier than your cousin. That's yes. What that means, right? Like, Sun Cho was like, this cousin of yours is far too normal. I think I'm going to go to Crazy Jason.
Yeah. For those of you who don't, if Sun Cho doesn't immediately ring a bell in your mind, this is the guy that killed 32 at Virginia Tech back in 2007.
Wounded 17.
Yeah. I mean, he was up until recently, one of the most prolific spree killers in the history of the world,
mm-hmm.
as far as we know, at least.
He was,
if I recall, he actually held the record for, like, the highest kills until some other guy,
who was Andre's also
in Korean, did it.
Yeah.
Oh, also in Korea.
I think it was a Korean guy. I'm not entirely sure.
I believe the record is Breivik still.
Yeah, Anders Breivik.
Oh, no, Anders Breivik, yeah. After Sun Cho, and then I think it was... It was Anders Breivik after that.
Right. Well, Sun Cho definitely put the nail in the coffin for the Matrix look. No one liked it after that. So go into your experiences with Sun Cho.
Well, when I was in high school, every so often I would go over and I would hang out with my cousins, and I would basically babysit them until their parents got home because they both worked at the airport. If you don't know where Centerville, Virginia is, it's in Northern Virginia. It's like right outside of Dulles Airport. It's in an odd part of Fairfax where it's like it used to be all farms, and then they turned it all into like McMansions and townhouses. So you got a lot of people from all over the country who would come in and move there. And eventually he was in one of the classes with my cousins. I think it was like one of their English classes for people who originally spoke a second language or something. Mm-hmm. Anyways, he would come over every so often to work on homework with my cousin, and afterwards they would just watch TV or something.
What would they watch usually?
Believe it or not, a lot of TRL.
Oh, I believe it. Yep, that seems about something that would inspire someone to mass shoot.
Yeah, Carson Daly, Daisy Fuentes, who is the host then?
Yeah, this is in the heyday of that, too. This is right. Like mid to late 90s.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I remember that time.
MTV is responsible for more death than cancer.
So what was he like? What was he like as a kid? Was there ever any indication that he was odd or, you know, just generally off?
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of indication that he was just off. I think that's one of the reasons why I got along with him.
Are you armed right now?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm not.
Thank God.
Basically, he never talked to anyone, and if he did talk to someone, it'd be like halfway through saying something, he would just stop talking.
Weird.
Very weird.
What would he do when he stopped talking? Would he look away or just...
He wouldn't even look at you. He would just like stare down at his shoes the whole time, or whenever he's talking to you, he'd be looking down at his shoes, or he'd be just looking at some other random thing.
So there's no charm in this fellow whatsoever?
Not really, no. It was like almost like a walking shell. It was the weirdest thing.
So what was it that made you want to maintain a friendship with him?
He came in. He watched me play Resident Evil 2.
Oh, that's a great game. I love Resident Evil. That's yeah. Nemesis, I believe, right?
Yeah, he sat down and watched me play the whole thing all the way through.
So that was one of the largest things that the media, in my personal opinion, and Marcus, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe your personal opinion as well, mm-hmm. they blew that way out of proportion. His love for video games, how he played Resident Evil, how he played Call of Duty, as if that somehow was hitting the Y button to reload is a hell of a lot more, a hell of a lot easier than it is to actually reload a real gun.
Yeah. So what did you think when you found out that, when you heard there was this shooting and you found out that it was this dude that you knew, what was your first thought?
Oh my God, I'm the guy who gave him Half-Life and got him into Counter-Strike.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you do wonder, is this aiding and abetting a terrorist? Is this providing, crucial skills to help somebody go and murder a bunch of people? You're a felon, sir. You're a felon.
Well, I actually get called terrorist by my friends for a totally different reason.
Why is that? I'm slightly off subject, and we'll get back to Mr. Cho.
Okay. Basically, I'm Afghan, so that's one of the reasons.
Oh, that's because your friends are racist.
Your friends are just racist pieces of shit.
Oh, good God. All right.
Oh, great.
Yeah, don't listen to them for the... Jesus. You're not... God, now that we know that, yeah. I love this guy. Of course, yeah. Sun Cho was attracted to you. He's like, oh, another person everyone hates.
Well, at the time, in the 90s, Afghans were like, okay, those are the guys who make the really good fucking turnovers with potato inside of them.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah, that all changed a couple years ago.
Years later, people are like, oh no.
Yeah.
Right.
That did change. But besides like Counter-Strike, like knowing somebody who committed such a heinous act that really just takes, like, did you say like, oh, I knew, or like, did it come as a complete surprise?
No, it came as a total surprise. Actually, my cousins, they after he'd started hanging out with me, all they did at school was just make fun of him all the time.
Right.
That's it. That's all they do is just make fun of him every day and like poke at him, throw food at him and stuff.
So you would say that he was actually bullied?
Oh, yeah, quite often.
Yeah, and what do you think the motivation of the bullying is? Obviously, the community you live in treats you as a terrorist, so it's probably not very kind to him.
Northern Virginia is a very odd area. It's a lot of really well-off people and also really people who are trying to basically get their foot in America at the same time.
Right.
Yeah, well,
If you've ever been there, that's basically all it is. And there's a huge Korean population from there, and it's a lot of people who are expats from South Korea, or it's people who have flown in directly from, like, getting smuggled overseas from North Korea.
Right, right. So, I mean, it was a similar situation in Wisconsin. There was a lot of Hmong from Vietnam.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when he committed the shootings, did you understand his rationale more than somebody from the outside? Because we see him as a monster. We see him as somebody who just murdered 32 people, injured 17, others. These are college kids. These are people who had their entire lives in front of them. I mean, did you understand a little bit more of his reasons behind it? Were you slightly more sympathetic?
There's really no sympathy towards just killing a ton of people just because you want to be seen as like a godlike figure. Another thing is I used to talk to him a lot about religion too.
What were some of his thoughts on religion?
Well, he was basically, his family's like Korean Catholic, I think. I'm not entirely sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, the Koreans are big into Christianity.
Oh yeah. Like back when the missionaries would go to South Korea. In fact, during the Korean War, there was a lot of people converted over to Christianity there.
Yeah.
But he was really big into it. And I'm a stone cold atheist.
Right.
And I would start giving him all these little plants. I'd be like, yeah, you ever questioned anything about the Bible and things like that? And then years later, he's got like this thing where he's going on a diatribe about how he's the new Jesus Christ and that all of Christianity is like hypocritical.
And how did the, how did the friendship stay together throughout this entire thing? Do you feel like you convinced him, into the sort of the atheist lifestyle?
He wasn't an atheist.
No.
He believed himself as like a new version of Jesus.
Yeah, in his manifesto, he said, "Thanks to you, I die like Jesus Christ to inspire generations of the weak and defenseless people."
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He saw himself as a Christ-like figure.
So you could never convince him otherwise.
No, after a while, it's just like I had my thoughts. He had his thoughts. I don't ever try to convince people of the other thing.
Right. Did you find?
But,
did he get angry, or was he super passionate about his religion?
He would just talk about it, and he would start talking and then drop off mid-sentence. Like, in the middle of – it didn't matter what I was saying. He would always do that.
This seems super common with what he did. I mean, Marcus, can you Google what – I mean, is there any – what is that? Is that autism? Did you find him to be, like, mildly autistic?
Very much so. But at the time, I didn't really even know what autism was.
Right.
Yeah.
And no one really
it was
did.
One of those things that people didn't really diagnose back then.
Yeah, you just thought that guy's weird. That guy's socially awkward.
Yeah. In fact, I think they said it was something to do with, like, he was partially mute, but it was an emotional thing.
Right.
I'm sorry.
No, go on.
It wasn't like a physical defect or anything like that. It was just he would just stop talking.
But the community sort of understood this. This was a normal, like, everyone's like, yeah, that's Sun Cho. He just kind of stops talking mid sentence. That was common.
Kind of. At the same time, it's Northern Virginia. There's no real community. It's just people just go to work, go to McDonald's, go home, pick up some food, go back to work, go to school, have a few friends that are in the neighborhood, then go do whatever, study, go into college.
Yeah,
it. There was no real community when it comes to those things. People aren't really neighbors there.
You know, and this is really the deterioration of the small American town, and that's true. What we're dealing with here. And this is
This was like a planned community. That's what Centerville was. It was a totally planned community from A to Z. They were like, this is going to be a place where we're going to have people who work in D.C., take 66 to work, and then take 66 back.
Right. And then the neighbors are always, randomly leaving signed letters on somebody else's front door about their dogs barking too late in the night and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's no community. Is there any sort of sign that you would say, is there any definitive moment with your hanging out with Sun Cho that you thought he might be able to murder 32 people and injure 17 others?
No, I actually thought of him as more of a pushover. You could just, like, he was made fun of by everyone. I'm not kidding when I say, like, every single person you can think of made fun of him, or they just mocked him, or they did random shit to him. It was just one of those things that he was the guy who got pushed over and over again. You wouldn't expect him to do anything later on. I mean, we're used to watching movies and reading books about people who are pushed to the breaking point, and then they're like, fuck it, I'm going to kill everyone. But he was not at that point. He was at the point where he was like, okay, I'll just be meek in the corner.
Do you think the fact that he was so bullied, do you think that that justifies his actions?
No.
Jesus Christ, Ben.
Who knows?
Of course not.
It's tough to say.
No, no, it's not.
All right.
It's very easy to say.
All right. Just ask him.
There's no excuse for going in and just killing a bunch of people. I mean, not unless you think that you're living in a movie or something like that. And even then, it's reality versus fantasy. There's a huge difference between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I would assume he felt like he was living in a video game.
Yeah, I'd imagine so. I mean, it sounds like that you were his... I mean, it's very possible that you may be the only friend that Sung Cho had his entire life.
Maybe. I have no idea.
I mean, from what...
All I know is that after a while, I was more or less focusing on graduating from high school, and he was just about to get into high school. So there's a bit of an age difference there, too. But I was just studying to go right into college or do whatever I was going to do after high school. And after that, we just didn't talk after that. Yeah. I played against him once in a while in Counter-Strike, kicked his ass a few times, and that's about it.
Well, maybe you should have thrown some games. Did you ever think about that? Maybe 32 people would be alive if you just chose to fucking put the remote down for a goddamn second and let Sun Cho win a goddamn game. Jason, you caused this whole catastrophe.
Oh, goddamn it, not again.
All right, yeah, you're responsible for 32 dead and 17 victims. Jason, thanks so much for calling in.
Hey, no problem, man.
Talk to you soon. Hail Satan.
Hail Satan.
Well, this is an incredibly successful Listener Pasta episode. Thank you, everybody, for your submissions. We got a lot of scary shit. Honestly, all the stuff we've got from our military is all scary as shit.
It's awesome, man.
Because these are people whose jobs are to protect us, and they're scared.
Yeah.
What do you do then? Do you send in the comedians?
No.
No.
No. No. Why would you? Why would you even think about that?
If ISIS had to sit through an open mic, they would probably all shoot themselves in the head. I think that could work.
Strop in, just start like blasting the desert with live feed from the creek Sundays at 4 o'clock.
Oh, that'd be perfect.
Thank you guys so much. So we're fucking slamming balls deep into Halloween.
Yeah.
I'm so fucking excited. I'm going to Halloween Horror Nights. Thank you to people for their suggestions online. I'm going Halloween Horror Nights with my sister. Jackie's coming to town.
Yeah.
And we're getting tacos. And then we're going to go to, I'm going to get fucking ripped to the fucking eyeballs and go punch some dude dressed as Beetlejuice.
Very fun. All right, everyone. Thanks so much for listening. Hail yourselves.
Me gusta las chans. Someone pointed out that we missed it last week. That made me sad.
And no. Hail Gein, of course.
Hail Satan. Thank you, Satan, for your gifts.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hail me!
Oh, and if you want to buy a t-shirt, go to cavecomedyradio.com/lastpodcast.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm sorry. We have had several people who say that the shirts sometimes smell like cigarettes. But guess what? That's what we smell like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you're just getting a little window of what it's like to stand next to or possibly kiss and hug one of us.
Mm-hmm. That's closest you're going to get to kissing me. I smell and taste like cigarettes constantly.
Well, that's disgusting. Well, all right, everyone. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much.
See you in the cancer ward, Marcus.
yes, Marcus is going to die of lung cancer.
Oh, no. I'll be killed long before then.
Okay.